Hey, Rock Movers. I cannot wait to introduce you to Season 4's guest.
I am so excited to share today's episode because I share a little bit about my journey with my son, Josiah, who was born prematurely. And today's guest is Carrie Mohan. And she just beautifully and vulnerably shares about her journey and how she stepped into entrepreneurship as a woman who does freelancing, and now how that's evolved into her coaching freelancers and the beautiful podcast that she has called Her Balanced Hustle. So I hope that you will enjoy today's episode as much as I enjoyed having the conversation with this beautiful, beautiful woman, Carrie Mohan. Let's get started. Okay, I am so excited to introduce and have a conversation today with my rock moving guest, Carrie. Thank you so much for being with us and for just saying yes to sharing your story with my listeners.
Hi, Karen. I want to say I'm excited because I am, but I know that these stories are also like they bring up a lot of emotion. So I'm excited to share the story, and I hope that people can relate to it, even when it's really it can be a difficult place that you've been in.
Well, thank you for being willing to go there, because it's so true that oftentimes when we go back to the original rocks, there's still some roughness there and some raw feelings and emotions that can come up. But that's the real life. That's the real life of what we get to do and the choices that we get to carry the lesson forward. So thank you for being willing to do that today.
I'm happy to do it. Happy to.
Wow. So good. Okay. So the question that everyone listening is going to want to know is, what is that big rock or big rocks that you had carried that may still have some of those feelings? Because I know you and I started a little bit talking about that before we jumped on camera. And so, and I have your bio and know about your stuff, but I know my listeners are primarily women, 30 over, and going through various phases of families and business and trying to do all the things and be all the things. So I know there are going to be people that can resonate with this today. So I'm excited that you're going to be willing to step into this with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy to, like I said. So I think one of the biggest rocks for me in my life has been the pregnancy journey. And I know a lot of women have had issues with pregnancy, and it's becoming more common to talk about, which I'm so happy when I see that, when I see it online, when I see people posting about miscarriages and infertility and pregnancy issues. But it's still not something that, like, you know, you're honestly just going to talk to a random acquaintance or maybe a loose acquaintance about, like, how are you doing? Oh, I've just gone through all this stuff in my life, right? For me, it started in 2014, and I think maybe some of your listeners can relate to this, very type A. I love schedules. Schedules actually help me relax when I always see like 5 years ahead, right? And I think that makes me a good business owner. But in life, it can be a little bit, you know, life doesn't work always the way you want it to.
Life doesn't check in with your calendar before it, you know, goes and wrecks your whole day?
No. So I decided, you know, I'd been married for, I think, 5 years, and it was time to have kids. And I was young when I got married, so we had time. But I said, you know, it's time to have kids, and we're going to have kids 3 years apart, and we're going to have three to four kids. And it was all planned out. And so we started trying to get pregnant in 2014, and I luckily got pregnant right away. And then I miscarried and lost the baby at around 11, 12 weeks. That was just devastating. At that time, I was working full time. It was not I didn't have many friends there. It wasn't the type of corporate world. The person I worked for was this older man. He didn't have any kids. He actually wasn't even married. And it just felt like very confining, not a place that I could really talk about it too much. I think I told like one person there. And then at the same time, I was also dipping my toes in freelancing. And just trying it out and seeing like, oh, it's a little like bringing some supplemental income. But then I was getting really into it as well and thinking like, oh, I could maybe I could do this if I have kids, right? And then I could do this flexible lifestyle and I don't even have to work at an office. This is maybe a good idea. And I decided I was going to try to get pregnant again. And I did right away again. Mm-hmm. And this time I made it through the first trimester and I was so excited. And then I went for the appointment and you know those like cute black and white pictures, they take those ultrasound pictures that people share. So you get that at like the anywhere between I think 10 to 12 weeks. And I was looking at the screen when they were doing it and I was like, that doesn't look normal. Like even I could tell it didn't look like that picture that everyone shares. And I said to the nurse, I said, is that a normal baby? And she's like, oh, we're not allowed to discuss this. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that BS. And so she took me to the doctor's office and the doctor said, I don't know what's going on. You have to go in for tests. You have to go in and into Boston, which was like 45 minutes away on a good day. And she said, you know, you have to go in for tests. We need to figure out what this is. But right now it doesn't look viable. And so that means it's probably going to be a stillbirth translation. And I was like, oh my God. And I like called my husband crying. Just like so upset. He was in a very like demanding role. He couldn't take off time to come with me either. So it was just lots of doctor's tests, lots of lying, lots of going through like horrible emotions where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Like, because the baby was not a stillbirth, but it was also like unlikely to live if I gave birth. And I had to make a decision if we were going to terminate it. And it was, I just remember those like, 4 or 5 weeks and I'm continuing to grow. Like my belly is continuing to grow. And I'm just like, oh, I'm hiding this. I'm having a few freelance clients. And it really cemented the fact for me that I was like, you know what? I really shouldn't be working full time. I don't like this. This freelance thing is starting to take off for me. And if I can have kids, that would be amazing. And also if I have, at that point, they didn't know if I'd be able to have healthy children. So I was like, if I have more of these tests, if I have IVF, if I have all these things going on, that's going to be really difficult while I'm working in a corporate office. I was an executive assistant at that time, which is, as people know, if they've watched The Devil Wears Prada, can be a lot of hours and a lot of demands. So in the end, we did decide to terminate it. One of the worst moments was that we terminated it. And then they called us and they told us that it wasn't the disease they thought it was. And I was like, could I have kept the baby? And they're like, no, we don't think so, but we need to do more testing on the genetics. So for anyone who has been through that, that was like my whole, everything felt like it dropped out of me, right? Just like, oh my God, did I make the worst decision of my life? Turns out I didn't. It was a different disease. It was not viable with life. And I ended up, weirdly, once that happened, it gained enough clients in my freelance business that I was able to actually quit my full-time role and go freelance, even though there was a part of me that was like, is this even like, I don't even know if I'll be able to have kids. Is this a good choice? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I talk about this because my schedule was so set. Like, and this was a 2-year journey, right? And my schedule was set. I was supposed to have kids 2 years prior and I was slowing everything down. And then I was supposed to have kids 3 years later. But when I look back on that, I realize I don't know if I would have quit my corporate job had everything worked according to my schedule. And that means I wouldn't have the life I have now, which is one of, I think, a lot of flexibility, the ability to make more money than I ever would have made in my corporate job, and the ability to help people through my coaching, which gives me such satisfaction. And I just don't know, even though I said to myself, yeah, maybe like I will, once I have the baby, I'll quit and focus on this freelance thing. But I think if I had that baby, either of them, I don't think I would have, because I would have liked the security of the full-time job, the steady paycheck, the health insurance, and all of that. So this is something that for me is a reminder, and hopefully for other women as well, that even when things don't go as planned, there might be a reason. And again, I struggle to even off-air talking about it like that, but I am a person that believes everything happens for a reason. So for me, looking back, I'm like, you know what? I have this wonderful career.
Right.
And I think I had to learn to trust the process. And I did end up having a healthy baby girl. Actually, I quit my job and a month later I got pregnant again. And I was like, oh, here we go again. and it was a healthy baby. So it worked out well. Would I have gotten pregnant even if I stayed in corporate? Maybe. But maybe there was also that factor of me letting go that allowed something to open up within my body. I don't know.
So that's a big, as a mom that had two very special pregnancies and I have a special needs son, that's a big, heavy rock to carry, that decision, because of all of the consequences that follow. You know, whatever the decision is that you make, there's always the human part after, right? That we have to, the emotions and the feelings and the thoughts and all the things that we make out of it. Second guessing, was that the right decision for them, for us, for everyone involved? So, you know, I commend you on trusting and listening to where there was peace and making a decision that ultimately was what it has allowed you to be the most beneficial to the planet and to your clients and to your family and your daughter. And just for those that are listening to this and maybe facing some hard decisions, do you feel like there was one thing that allowed you to make that decision and be able to have peace with it?
That you're talking about the one where I had to terminate the baby, right?
And just quitting corporate America and making all of those decisions. Like, was there anything that just happened that gave you peace?
I think I, in some ways, like having the support of my husband and everything was really essential. So having someone support who says, yeah, you got this, no matter what, like you're doing the right thing for you. And I don't think I would have been able to do that without him either. I mean, obviously with the decision with the pregnancy, but even corporate America, like we had to sit down and go through our finances. We did line item by line item. Like, and to be clear, I quit my job making $20,000 a year less than I was in my full-time role, but I knew that I would be opening up 8 hours a day to hopefully market more and get more clients. So that ended up working out in my favor. But I think without his support, without people being there, rooting you on and saying, you've got this, I don't know. That would have been really, really hard to make that decision.
Yeah. I love that. So, I can relate to that on so many levels with my husband as well. Just having someone in your corner that not only is kind of that little safety net if things change, but also just believing with you on that dream and seeing and saying the future with you. Because sometimes we have these dreams in quiet, right, in the closet.
Yeah.
And we don't share them because we know that this is my dream, my vision. I've got to go live it because I don't want anybody to naysay and get in the middle of it, first off. But as we begin to live it and walk it, having that person, your person especially, right, to support you is huge. So love that. So now, how old is your daughter?
My daughter is 8, and I now have a son that is 2. And interestingly, another rock happened. I still was on my plan to have a child 3 years later, even though the timeline got messed up. And that didn't happen. And the second time around, instead of having failed pregnancies, I had infertility. And no reason why. They couldn't explain it. After tests, everything looked fine. It was just called something called secondary infertility. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And the years went by. And they kept going by. I remember getting to a point of just saying, like, remember last time, Kiri? Everything happened for a reason, right? Remember last time? And during that time, I damaged my knee. The pandemic happened. I had to get surgery on my knee and recover from that. It was a pretty bad surgery. And we also went away for a month or two and traveled somewhere else during the pandemic. Took my daughter out of preschool because who cares? It's preschool. We were both working. Well, I was always working from home, but my husband was working from home at that point because of the pandemic. So we got to do these like little adventure things. I think if I had a baby, I wouldn't be able to do. And then I we decided to do IVF. And by we, and again, this goes to support because my husband did not want to do IVF. He was like, you know what? I'm good. Like, if this is it, like, you went through so much last time. Let's be happy with this. But I was like, I really want a sibling for her.
Yeah.
And I want to expand our family. So he said, if you really want to do IVF, sure, we'll do IVF. And I went through all the tests. We got ready. And I decided the last month before IVF, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. This is I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I was like, I'm just going to go balls to the walls. I'm just going to do all this manifestation stuff and yoga and novenas. And I did like so much from different cultures. And I said, I'm just going to imagine I'm already pregnant and I'm just going to go through it like I'm pregnant. And I got pregnant. And I got, and that's like one of my few experiences with manifestation where I went all in. Cause I've done manifestation here and there and dabbled in it, but this was like, I have nothing to lose. The drugs are sitting right there. They're waiting for me to get my period again. And so I'm just going to try it and see what happens. And I did it and I got pregnant. And it was a crazy experience. But I also look back on that and say, I don't think I could have handled having a baby during the pandemic. When everything was shut down, when I wasn't allowed to see my mom, when I wasn't allowed to see my support system, where I was really stressed about my business, if it was going to survive, where my husband was stressed about his job and if he was going to continue to have a job. At that point, I was coaching. So it was just kind of like, maybe again, these things happen for a reason. We wouldn't have been able to do our little adventure. I mean, maybe, but I wouldn't have felt comfortable probably doing that in the pandemic, going out and about. So I don't know. It's one of those things, again, that just I think everything happened at its own timeline. And sometimes trying to rush it and push it for whatever reason, you're hitting resistance. There could be, you just have to wait.
Yeah. And for those of us that like to control, that like to have the timeline, wait is a 5-letter cuss word. Like it's literally, or 4-letter. What WAIT, 4-letter cuss word. I can't even count. It's a cuss word, right? Like it's like, you know, don't tell me to stop. Don't tell me I can't. And don't tell me to wait. Like, don't cuss at me like that. But when God and the universe is telling you to wait, you can't argue. Like they have the trump card. So,
you can't, but at the same time, you're like, is this going to have a happy ending? Do I need to accept where I am? I don't want to accept where I am. And I think that was one of the hardest things for me the second time around. Because the first time around, I thought, I still have hope. I'm getting pregnant quickly. I still have hope. Like, even maybe one will work out, right? The second time around, it was like nothing. And it was just draining emotionally month after month. And any woman who's been through this, like, I feel you. I know month after month, you're just like, Hi. And then a crash and depression and just, not again.
Well, as a society, I think we've placed so much pressure and identity on women being maternal. I mean, we have our own, you know, internal things that motivate us and cause us to want to have a children or not have children. Like we have our own motivators either way. But society has this, just this expectation, especially, you know, from your family, like, you know, oh, when are you going to get married? Okay, you're married now. When are you going to, you know, you graduated, you're going to go to college.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get married. Like there's this little.
There's a timeline. Yep. And
yeah,
I and never ask people anymore. If they're going to have kids, if they're going to like going through this experience, like I have a set of friends who've been married for a long time. They don't have kids. They've mentioned here and there that they're going to have kids, but they don't. I never ask. And some of me is like, should I? Because I've been through a lot. Like maybe I should share my story in case they're going through that. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe they just like, I didn't want people to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
because it was just
a very small journey.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially from people you're not super close with. Like, my very close friends knew.
Right.
But even then, sometimes I regretted telling them because, of course, they would bring it up every time. Like, how are you going? How's the pregnancy journey? And then they'd be like, by the way, I'm pregnant. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah. So for someone that is on the outside, here's an opportunity for us to learn. Like, what is some language or how can we or should we even – address it. So how, you know, I think it's probably different for everybody, but What is something you should consider?
I just say don't ask. I mean, if you really feel like, if you're close to this person and you feel like you're in a place where you can ask, I would say, are you planning to have children maybe? Right? Like, because then that gives the opportunity to see like, you know, we're trying, we would like to, or no, you know, it's just not in the cards for us, or maybe one day. But that saying, like, are you planning to, allows a little bit more grace and like, oh, so when are we going to see those kids, you know, or something like that. Like that, it takes away this expectation a little bit and it allows you more freedom in your answer as someone. But most of the time, I just don't even ask. And I advise people not to ask, because if it is something that you want to know, but you really have to judge your friendship. And the two friends and, I'm talking about, I'm not close enough.
If someone's going through the fertility journey, or they've had multiple miscarriages or a miscarriage, do you feel like it's best to just ask them, is this something that you would like for me to talk with you? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want me to support you, or how could I best support you?
Yes, if you know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would say, how to best support you. What I always said to people is, if you find out someone has had a miscarriage or has, we're taking infertility out of it because that's a longer journey, but if someone has had a miscarriage or a pregnancy difficulty like me or ectopic or whatever, I say, don't even say, how can I support you? Just do something. Just send a meal, send a card. So there are actually little boxes on Etsy now, which weren't there when it happened to me. But there are little boxes that like are for grieving mothers who just had a miscarriage. Just do it. Like that meant so much more to me that my friend just bought me something instead of, you know, not just saying, how are you?
Right.
What can I do for you? No.
That's such a good idea, because then they can open it and process it on their own time. And it's not.
And you remember my friend who sent me, I think she sent me like 3 meals from Fresh Direct or something like that. Like, I always remember that friend that sent me this little like quartz healing crystal thing. I remember that.
Yeah.
That means the world to me than just saying, how are you? And I think I've learned, when my friends have miscarriages and they share it with me, I send them something immediately.
Such a good suggestion, and kind of helps us segue to the second part of our interview. So these are the things, that the rocks that you faced and some of the ways that you're helping people. But tell us a little bit more about the lessons that you are now turning into how you serve and what you do as a coach and in your entrepreneurial journey now.
Yeah. So the biggest lesson, obviously, that we've been talking about that I take away is that things go at their own pace and you can't push it. So a lot of time when I coach freelancers, so again, way back when I started this, I was freelancing. And then with the more people came to me with questions, the more I was like, let me help you. And then eventually I realized I had a framework. And so I started turning it into my coaching business. But I think what I'm telling people is that don't feel like you have to rush it. And that's like, I think, the lesson I took away from my rock. Don't feel like you have to rush your business. Like, yes, you see these entrepreneurs ahead of you. Maybe you've had some of these people on your own show that make it within. And that was one of those stories, right? Like, I was able to quit my full-time job really within a year when I started buckling down and really working hard on it, within a year. But when I did my coaching business, it took way longer. It took a lot longer for me. And that's okay. And I think I've realized that, like, your life circumstances are different from another person's life circumstances. Absolutely. Like, what you can put into your business, what you can put into your life. And this even goes up for people who are trying to like lose weight or work out or whatever goal they have. You can't compare yourself to another person. And oh, by the way, I just read this amazing quote this last week by Louise Hay. Do you know who that is?
Absolutely. Love Louise Hay. I love her affirmations.
So she, for those in her famous, she's, I like her stuff for the most part, but she had in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, this quote about how each person is so unique and different. Like no snowflakes are the same. No fingerprints are exactly the same. Each person is so unique. How is there any comparison or competition? Because when you drill it down, if nobody is the same, who are you comparing yourself to? Where is the competition? And I was like, I just posted about it on LinkedIn. My mind was blown. And I was like, oh, of course. Like this applies to anything in life. Like who are you racing against? Who are you trying? Like your circumstances in life are so different. My body, for whatever reason, did not produce a healthy baby on the first two tries. But I'm looking at other people thinking, well, this is how a woman is supposed to be. And like all these other people might have had similar like issues, but like we are also different in our circumstances and our minds and our brains and our life and our socioeconomic status. That's not to say like you can't get to that point, but you can't. Don't rush it. Don't force it.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. And I love that you said that about the snowflake and the fingerprint, because that, like that takes it down to something very visual that we can remember, right? Like, you know, everything, every bumblebee, every bird, nothing is the same.
No, so twins aren't even the same. My best friend has twins and I can see that they're a little bit different, right?
Yeah. And that's as close to being, you know, comparable as you get.
So
two nuggets that you've shared with us today that I just love. There's a timeline and reason for the lessons.
Yes.
So even if we don't understand it, just trusting and knowing that there's something behind this, that there will be something that makes sense of it. So there's a timeline for our life. There's a reason for the things that we go through. And then from Louise Hay, the quote of each person is so unique. How can we compare ourselves?
Yeah.
To anyone else.
I mean, I'm happy to send you that quote afterwards too, because I made it into an image and everything. I was like, I am putting this somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I will share that. So for those that are listening and they're just like, oh my gosh, I need more Carrie in my life. Where can they connect best with you? Where do you love hanging out, or where do you live the most?
LinkedIn.
Social.
LinkedIn. Okay. Totally. And I'm the only Carrie Mohan as far as I know. I haven't checked in a few months. Maybe there's some imposters, but that is my favorite place to hang out.
If there's another one, it's an imposter, report it, because there's only one you. I love
it. I'm so unique and so different.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's LinkedIn, and I post almost daily. I have tips for freelancers on how to grow their business, stories from my past, all of that to help others.
So tell our listeners a little bit, because you've mentioned freelancers a couple times. So you came out of corporate and turned your skill set from corporate into what started as a side hustle into this thriving business. And then you began to teach others how to do the same, correct?
Correct. So I dabbled in a bunch of different things, copywriting, social media management, newsletters and stuff too. And I settled on the fastest way to the money, which was my executive assistant services. It was like, well, if I have this corporate pass that speaks to that and I have this experience, it's much easier to sell, right, than trying to start over.
Right.
So I went and started doing that. And as I continued to be in business, I increased my revenue quite quickly. And it was because of just strategies I was using, that a lot of it had to do with like the psychology of the buyer and what they want and how to market my services. And that's when I started having people ask me questions. Like, I want to freelance. How do you do this? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think I can only help assistants. And I started helping assistants. I didn't like helping assistants. I don't know why. It was just something about assistants that I think, because they came to me expecting me to teach them assistant skills, executive assistant skills. But what I was teaching, and I didn't realize this for a while when I was coaching, was not that, but I was teaching a framework and a strategy that could be applied to any service-based business owner, like consultant or freelancer.
Not the skills, more so the strategy of how to use the skills.
Yes. So now I only work with people who already have the skills, who come, like, hopefully would be well recommended by clients. They're just hitting this plateau and this wall of like, I'm only making maybe usually less than $10,000 a month. Some of them are only on hourly. and they don't know, they've tried getting off of it, they don't know how. And I teach them how to repackage their business so that they are attracting high income clients. And it's not only that, but also how to position their business so that they're working 25 hours a week or less. So my goal is to get these people to six figures, 25 hours a week or less. There are some people who get there quickly. There are some people who take 6 months to a year to really implement the strategies.
Now, do you help them create that business, or do you only work with people who've already started?
So actually, let me backtrack. If it's my private coaching, I do help them create their business from scratch. So if they're trying to leave corporate America,
right?
But the majority, I would say 85% of my clients are freelancers already. They've already created a business. They've already registered it. They've probably been in business, most of them, at least 6 months to a year. They have a few clients under their belt. They know how to do what they do. They just need to take it to the next level.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you're listening to this and you're like, that's me, I need to do that, then finding Carrie over on LinkedIn is going to be the best place to start. And then just trusting, right? There's a timeline and there's a reason why you're listening to this today. And so if there's been a burning desire on your heart to move out of a current situation, scale up your revenue, or just take your business to the next level, the next step, then trust that you're hearing this for a reason and reach out to this amazing woman who has been through this, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, probably made the t-shirt herself and sold it and made a profit. So, those are the people you want to follow. You want to follow people who have a track record of success, right? Because there's, you know, the proof is in the profits, as we say. And so you really want to lean in to people who aren't just selling you a 10K program so that they can teach you how to make $10,000. They're actually have a program of helping and track record of helping people make successful decisions in their business at every level. So thank you for being a kind of woman that uplifts other women, because I love watching women win. I love tapping into great resources. And that was the whole reason why I started my podcast back in the pandemic in 2020.
Oh, wow.
Was because I am such a people person and I couldn't get out and network and I couldn't share my network with other people. So my best friend challenged me to start a show and begin to introduce my network to each other. And so that's the reason behind the Rock Movers, because I always work with women who have overcome amazing things and done or hard things, and they're doing amazing things with those lessons. So you fit right into that. So thank you so much for being a part of this today.
Thank you.
And I would love to just invite you to share anything that you want our listeners to know about you, kind of some parting words. And then I have one final question that's a fun question. So no pressure on that. That's just a fun one. But what are some final words that you want either them to know about you, your business, any offers, or any words of wisdom for that woman who is just sitting on the fence and like, I don't even know if I'm worth investing in.
Well, I think to go back to our theme, and as you were talking, you know, about the theme, everything happens for a reason. And I'm not confident about that. Like, I dislike saying it. I feel like a little bit of imposter syndrome or something. Like, I feel, because some people really dislike that expression. But I think I need to own that and be a little bit more confident and just say that is my belief, that everything happens for a reason. And that is what I have seen in my life over and over and over again, that these things happen. And not that I'm glad that they happen, but if they hadn't happened, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. And my life is wonderful. And I think these rocks that were moved, there's a reason why they had to be moved, or that I pushed through them. Yeah. So I'm going to be confident. Everything happens for a reason. Don't compare yourself to others. Go at your own pace. And my website is corporate2contract.com. I have a lot of resources for women who are business owners or even trying to be an entrepreneur.
Yes. And it's the number two, correct?
Yes. Correct. I usually say that.
Corporate number two contract.com. Thank you for sharing that about everything happening for a reason. There is such a debate, and it's a very personal position to take with this, and we'll kind of wrap this thought up and then we'll ask the fun question. But people wonder, how can you say that when it's a bad thing?
I know. And I struggle with that.
Yeah,
I do.
I want to encourage you and anyone else listening to this that how can we see something as a lesson or as happening for us rather than judging it as good or bad? If it just was, okay, this happened. So I'll use my personal story. I was adopted when I was born, or given up for adoption. So I was orphaned when I was born and then given up for adoption and adopted a month and a half later. That didn't feel good when I found out. That became very traumatic and changed my life forever, just knowing that fact. And that absence of my birth mother was felt even before I knew that's what that ache was. In hindsight, at 55 now, and going through this journey and how I've evolved, I know now why I was adopted. And I can see in hindsight how that journey has made me who I am, and how the bad decisions that I made, the abuse that followed, the situations I put myself in or that I was put into, physical abuse, sexual abuse, just horrible things, all happened so that I could be this person today. And had they not happened, I wouldn't have the empathy, I wouldn't have the impact, I wouldn't have the ability to love and serve to such a capacity the way I do. And I can honestly say there's not one person who could come to me with their problems and that I couldn't love them in that moment and feel the pain with them, or to look at them and not judge them only because of what I've gone through. And so there are things that as a human we go through because this world is faulty and has horrible things happen. We can always choose to see the good. We can always use it for our greatness, for God's purpose. We can always find the good in every situation. And I say that even through severe trauma, even through severe pain and loss and grieving, there can always be something good. There is always hope. And so if you don't feel that, I want to encourage you, even through the loss of a child, even through grieving, abuse, or abandonment, or anything that can happen, there is still hope.
That's powerful.
I want you to be able to stand on this, that you are doing amazing, great things, because the things that happened, the babies that you will get to hold one day, right? They're still with you. They're still a part of you. Those spirits never, like, you still gifted two spirits into the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you still had those. And so they're still good. And now you can talk a different conversation with women who are going through loss that you couldn't have otherwise. So how much greater can you serve?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest struggles I actually have, which you mentioned, was child loss. Like, I remember one of my good friends saying, like, well, this woman lost her child to cancer at age 11. And I was like, he's like, how can you say everything happens for a reason? I was like,
yeah, but she
that's
had
11. A tough one.
So let's dive into that, because that's a great example. That child was here on this planet for 11 years. That child accomplished things and did things in its 11 years. What if as a human, that's what its destiny was for, to accomplish what it did in 11 years and to make the impact? And what if something else happens because of its loss, because that family's loss, that mother now goes and does something else, that if that mm-hmm. child hadn't passed, it wouldn't have happened. Like, think about the code Adam, right? If that tragedy hadn't happened, if that child had not been abducted, that man wouldn't have fought for in a store to have Code Adam. Mm. So that Code Adam is they lock down. Oops, sorry, hit the microphone. They lock down the store and they find the lost child.
Mm-hmm.
How many children have been saved because that one man lost his son and then fought to change the rules?
Mm-hmm.
So
I said that, Tim. I said, like, in a way, I was saying the same thing. I said, there's so many threads that connect human lives and our life that it's hard. And of course, I've never been through anything like that. And God, knock on wood, I hope I never do. But it's hard to say, well, everything doesn't happen for a reason because of this very tragic instance, because there's so many different threads and interconnections within human life that, like, you don't know, you know, like, even people were like, so-and-so's son just committed suicide. Like, how is there good in that? But how do we, I don't know, at the same time, it's like, how do we know? There's so many threads. And again, I don't want to be in this position because I might give the middle finger to someone while I'm grieving and be like, I don't subscribe to that anymore. But like you said, there's so many threads that connect. And that was like my one little, I don't know if it was a lame argument or not, but I was just like, there's so many threads that connect people. I don't know what to tell you on that, but that's the only way I can look at it and be confident in it.
I also feel that there is so much more than just our human body. Like, this isn't all there is. And that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Believing that this is just one piece of a much bigger picture, a much bigger journey. And when I see that, it allows me to not just stay in the middle of the grief here, because I've had some really deep grief lately, and I can move past that and know that this isn't all there is. In the big picture, this is a blip.
Mm.
And so for that to impact me in a way that shuts me down and keeps me from doing the things that I'm called to do is a disservice to the greater picture. And so is there great traumas in the world? Absolutely. Is there horrifying things happening that humans do to each other? Most definitely. Is there still hope? Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think we are all called to do things, and we can't let the grief and the hard things stop us. So we don't know it all. So we don't have all the answers. And if you're struggling and need someone to have as a sounding board, please reach out to Carrie or I and allow us to discover how we can better support you through something that may feel so hard that this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Allow us to support you in that. So there is no definitive answer, but I know that there's hope. That's it. That's my final word. And in the middle of all this, I promised a happy question. So we're going to end it on a happy note.
Yes.
And change the energy, because that can get so heavy. And just know you're held and loved, and we can stay there, just not on this podcast. So in this, we want to know what is, because you have an amazing business, you have an amazing family, you do all the things for all the people, but what do you do for self-care? And what is your greatest tip, trick, hat, resource that is absolutely helping you take care of you?
I find I have to work out. And it's not from a body image. It is because I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of fire energy within me. And if I do not work out, I get really, really grumpy. and I know, like, from having like surgeries and even like little biopsies where I'm supposed to rest for 2 weeks. God, I hate that. And I'm just sitting on my butt and I feel ready to work, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, it's like I have to work out. And even though I've created this amazing schedule for myself where I don't work many days, I cram everything into the hours that my kids are out. So I do not work out during the middle of the day like I'd like to. I do not work out at night because then I can't fall asleep, and I've struggled with insomnia in the past. I don't work out when my kids come home because my husband's in the workout section. So I have to get up at 5:45 to work out.
Yeah.
That is a struggle for me, but I know, so it's not, I don't know if this is a tip or a hack, but I know that is going to make me a lot better of a person, and it's going to release some of that energy so it doesn't stay stagnant.
Yes.
Within me. And then it's going to create a lot more flow in the energy.
I love that.
So that is like knowing yourself and knowing like what is it that you need to do to stay sane, make that time. And then secondly, I need alone time. I am very independent. I like being alone. There's nothing better for me than having everyone out of the house. So my husband and I work out like during the summer weekends that I can, we're lucky that his parents have a lake house that's like an hour and a half away. So there are weekends when I say, I need these 2 days to myself. And he takes the kids up there because he has help from his parents. And I get to spend a night, just me, and reading and drinking tea. Glorious.
Feels like heaven. Feels like glorious heaven. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Such good reminders. And thank you for sharing those. Everybody's different. Everybody. And, you know, 2 years from now, your things that, you know, feed your soul may be different. That's the gift that we also know, is that we go through seasons and there are ebbs and flows. And so for those listening, you know, you can connect with Carrie on LinkedIn. And if you're feeling this ball of energy and just feel like you are about to burst, if you don't take care of yourself, listen to her advice and lean in and just make it a priority to take care of you, so that you can be, have your cup full and be all that you need to be for others and help them move their rocks. So
yes,
thank you for being on our show today and for being our guest and being a part of our rock moving community. We are so grateful. And we will definitely have all of the show notes in so you can connect with her, make it super simple where you can click over. But in the meantime, we just want to encourage you to follow, to connect with, and to check into her podcast also. And remind me, what is your podcast name?
Yes, it's Her Balanced Hustle. And it's where I interview women entrepreneurs on how to scale a business and still maintain a personal life. So still do this, like the self-care or family or whatever it is. How do you manage to do both while growing a business, especially when you're really ambitious?
Yes. All the things that the rock movers totally understand. So definitely go over, check that out, subscribe and follow and support her, because we want to be women supporting other women.
Yes.
And just thank you for tuning in to the Rock Movers. We appreciate you. We hope to continue to provide you more resources. If you loved this episode, like and follow, and just know that we are here for you, and know that you don't have to move those rocks alone. We got you. Wow, I hope that you got as much value from this conversation as I did having it with our guest today. Just always amazed and so impacted by the beautiful people that come onto this show and share their rock moving stories. And finally, I want to say thank you to you, because this episode could not happen if it weren't for your, the wonderful people that are listening to this, the wonderful people that are sharing your comments, liking, subscribing, and just supporting me as my rock moving community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as my way of giving back and saying thanks, I want to offer a free resource with my self-worth archetype quiz. It's a free quiz for you to learn your self-worth superpowers and discover your self-doubt kryptonites. Those are the things that are getting in your way. This is totally free. And if you take this quiz, you'll see that there's also a free discovery call that you can tap into to learn more about the results and how you can best use those to escalate, scale, and elevate your self-worth and self-confidence. I'm here for you. This is my way of saying thank you for showing up for me. And Of course, please don't forget to subscribe to The Rock Mover so that you stay in touch with all of the new updates as they come out, because we have some amazing, amazing episodes that are going to be coming out in season 5. I cannot believe this is the last episode of season 4, and season 5 is launching so soon. Of course, I also want to encourage you to follow me and connect over on social media. I'm on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I do respond myself, so if you get a response, that's from me. That's not from my assistant. That's from me. So please, let's connect, stay in touch, and let me know who you'd like to see on The Rock Movers. And if that's you, please feel free to put your own name in, because we are in this together, moving rocks, one rock at a time. Take care.